Forever.
Show of hands.
You want to live forever. No, nobody wants. Some want to live forever, not everybody. It's a bit of a mixed crowd. Well, human beings have been pursuing the dream of immortality from the earliest times, haven't we? The idea that there is some existence after this existence develops simultaneously with man's first conscious recognition that he's mortal. Along with death go dreams of the afterlife. As Hashem said to Adam after his sin, "For you are made from dust, and to dust you will return." And ever since that moment, human beings, B'nai Adam, have been trying desperately, one, to defer the moment of death, to lengthen their days, and establish by the means by which they may attain to not just an afterlife, but to attain to a blessed afterlife. This has been the human search from the very beginning. From the moment that Adam, the death sentence was passed on Adam, we've been pursuing eternal life. After all, who wants to live forever if that forever is not a blessed eternal life? According to the Bible, the lifespan of human beings was initially huge, even older than Charles. The Torah tells us, for instance, that Adam lived... Anybody remember how many years Adam lived for? Oh, Marcus, I could expect you to remember a number, can't I? 930 years. And indeed, at least up until Hamabul, the flood, people are said to have lived to a similar ripe old age. Anybody remember how long Cain lived for? Cain? Anybody? Marcus? Oh, all right. Well, we'll let you off. 730 years. Shet lived for 920 years. Yered lived to be 962. Well, Methuselah, that's Yered's grandson, the oldest person in the Bible, lived to be. Anybody know this one? 969 years old. That's a lot of years. And after the flood, so the Torah tells us, lifespans dropped rapidly. Shem, Noach's son, died at 600. And his son, Shelach, died at 438. But Shelach's grandson died at just 239. Nahor, Abraham's grandfather, only lived to be 148. While as next week's parasha tells us, Yaakov, Abraham's grandson, died at 147. Anybody remember how old Moshe was when he died? Anybody? Marcus again. 120. May you live to 120 is the blessing we give each other. As the Torah tells us, even at 120, Moshe's, quote, eye was undimmed and his vigor was unabated. And interestingly, Moshe died at precisely the same age that was predicted by Hashem just prior to the flood. As it says in Bereshit 6 verse 3, my spirit will not live in human beings forever. Who wants to live forever? For they too are flesh. Therefore their lifespan is to be 120 years. And yet the lifespan of humans as recorded in the Bible didn't remain fixed at 120, did it? They continued to fall after Moshe. Thus, King David died at the age of, anybody?
Was it around 80?
Around 70. King David died at 70. When he was, quote, old and advanced in years. So Moshe was full of vigor at 120. Moshe was old and full of years, advanced in years at 70. The drop in lifespan was such that Moshe not only felt compelled to lament man's lot in this respect, the shortness of his life, but to observe that in future, a good lifespan would be just 70 to 80 years. Psalm 90 says, Nathan, can I borrow you? Psalm 90, if you can read us Psalm 90.
Prayer of Moshe, the man of God. Adonai, who have been our dwelling place in every generation, before the mountains were born, before you had formed the earth and the world, from eternity past to eternity future, you are God. You bring frail mortals to the point of being crushed, then say, people, repent. For from your viewpoint, 1,000 years are merely like yesterday or a night watch. When you sweep them away, they become like sleep. By morning, they are like growing grass, growing and flowering in the morning, but by evening cut down and dried up. For we are destroyed by your anger, overwhelmed by your wrath. You have placed our faults before you, our secret sins in the full light of your presence. All our days ebb away under your wrath. Our years die away like a sigh. The span of our life is 70 years, or if we are strong, 80. Yet at best, it is toil and sorrow, over in a moment, and then we are gone. Who grasps the power of your anger and wrath to the degree that you fear due you should inspire? To teach us to count our days so that we will become wise. Return, Adonai. How long must it go on? Take pity on your servants. Fill us at daybreak with your love so that we can sing for joy as long as we live. Let our joy last as long as the time you made us suffer, for as many years as we experience trouble. Show your deeds to your servants and your glory to their children. May the favor of Adonai our God be on us. Prosper for us all the work that we do. Yes, prosper the work that we do. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. That's the prayer of Moshe, who lived to 120 years, saying that the lifespan of a human being will be 70 or 80 if he's strong. Why does any of this matter? Why are we even talking about this morning? Well, as it says in that psalm, teach us to count our days that we may be wise. So there's some wisdom that is derived from counting our days. And my interest in this has been piqued this week by a BBC News report, and some of you may have seen it on TV on the BBC News. How long could we live? Did anybody see that this week? No? BBC's medical correspondent, Fergus Walsh, asked, how long do you want to live? To 85, 90, 100 or beyond? More important than how long we live, he says, is the state of our health in old age. The oldest verified person to date was Jeanne Calment of, I think I've said that wrong, Calment of France, who died in 1997, aged 122. Now scientists in the United States believe drugs could be on the horizon that delay the diseases of old age and increase the healthy years of life. But could such treatments also mean we live longer? Unfortunately, undoubtedly, according to Aubrey de Grey, a biomedical gerontologist and probably the world's leading advocate of life extension, the belief that medical advances will enable humans to live for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. If science could pull that one off, it would be as if humans had returned to their antediluvian state, their lifespan. 930 years would be common. Indeed, imagine all those candles on your birthday cake. I don't know about blowing them out. You would need a fire engine on hand to douse the flames. Happy 930th birthday. Would you like to live to 800 years, perhaps? 700? Well, I'm not sure myself. Certainly not if the quality of life is diminished. It's one thing living to a great age, but what about the diseases and disabilities that attend old age? Apparently, Aubrey de Grey, quote, has ploughed millions of pounds of his own money into aging research and is chief science officer of the SENS Research Foundation, which has labs in Silicon Valley, California. As Fergus Walsh continues to report, de Grey has said, I've yet to meet someone who wants to get Alzheimer's. Ill health as a result of aging is the biggest problem facing the world. He believes medicine is close to solving the problem, however. There will be certainly be no limit, he says, on how long people might live when we bring aging under control. People will still die. There are still trucks to be hit by. But the fact is that people will live on average much longer lives, unless some bizarre thing happens, like we get hit by an asteroid. Crucially, de Grey believes medical advances will mean that we will spend those extra years in robust, good health, which is a relief. But the idea that aging can be vanquished like this is very definitely a minority view. While scientists have found that they can massively increase the lifespan of simple organisms such as yeast, fruit flies, worms, or Ipswich supporters, it's apparently inordinately harder to achieve increases the further you go up the evolutionary ladder. In the laboratory, they've increased lifespans of these simple organisms by up to 500%. Mice have had their lifespans extended by up to 30%. But what about humans? Whatever de Grey says, progress in this area has been frustratingly slow. Though the Facebook creator Mark Zuckerberg, yes, one of ours, has vowed to, quote, prevent or manage all diseases by the end of the 21st century, the fact is that for most of us here, that's going to be a little bit too late. In all likelihood, most of us will have Moshe's 70 years plus 10, 20, or 30. Maybe a little bit more or less. Perhaps you might think all of this talk of lifespans is a little bit morbid, a bit depressing. Perhaps it's something you'd rather not think about. File over there in the, you know, I will look at that tomorrow kind of stuff. And yet the scripture says, teach us to count our days, that we may be wise. And don't be afraid to look at this. None of us really knows definitely when we're going to pass away. When we're going to enter into the next world, or what even exists in the next world. Indeed, as Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, mused, I've seen the task God has given humanity to keep us occupied. He has made everything suited to its time. Also, he has given human beings an awareness of eternity. So we have this sense there's something there. But in such a way that they can't fully comprehend from beginning to end the things God does. Concerning people, I said to myself, God is testing them so that they will see that by themselves they are just animals, which is what Hashem said before the flood, that they are also flesh. After all, the same things that happen to people happen to animals, the very same thing. Just as the one dies, so does the other. Yes, their breath is the same. Hope not like my cat, she's rather fishy. Or Marmite. So that humans are no better than animals, he says, since nothing matters anyway. They all go to the same place. They all come from dust and they all return to dust, like Hashem said of Adam. Who knows if the spirit of a human goes upward and the spirit of an animal goes downward into the earth? And so who really does know? And yet, as Kohelet added, for everything there is a season, a right time for every intention under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Teach us to number our days that we may be wise. Coming to terms with mortality is a very human struggle. It's partly what marks us out from the animals. Which other species has so struggled with, so contemplated their mortality, and attempted to peer into eternity, as we humans have? And all religion has ultimately spawned from this preoccupation with life and death, and each in its own way has sought to give some kind of answer or reassurance. And how reassured you may or may not feel by the answers that religion gives you as you reflect on your life and your future may depend upon your particular religion. In the end, I suppose, because as Kohelet says, none of us definitely knows, it is emunah, trusting faithfulness, that we're left with. All true religion should be based on emunah, trusting faithfulness. Emunah is what remains when our knowledge comes to an end. As it most definitely does when it comes to knowing about the afterlife. As Kohelet said, you've given us an awareness of something in eternity, but we can't fully grasp it or understand it. And we get problems when we confuse faith with knowing, particularly with doctrinal assurance, with being sure, with, quote, seeing the light. But actually, faith is all about not knowing. And it exists side by side with doubt and with darkness, the lack of knowledge. That's when faith really comes into its own. And so, like Avraham, who was called to leave Haran without knowing where he was going, we continue to trust, to exercise emunah, in spite of our being kept mostly in the dark. Yes, we have an awareness, a vague awareness of what is to come, but we cannot know the real truth, the real fullness yet. And thus, Abraham's walk into uncertainty is a model for us in this respect. It reminds us that courage is also a hallmark of faith, of emunah. You can't have faith without courage. Rather than faith being a crutch, an easy path, as some people accuse religious people of, trusting faithfulness requires courage and not a little chutzpah. In the Bible, we find that there are many opinions expressed on what happens to us in the afterlife. And it's quite difficult sometimes to synthesize them all at once, because the Bible isn't just a single book, it's a library written over thousands of years, containing disparate Jewish thoughts and experiences. And yet, if we were to find a common theme running through all of these disparate books, it is this, I think. Relax. Trust that the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, the God whose love overflowed, compelling him to create all of this, you and me, can be trusted to be there for you on the other side. He has made a way through that apparently impenetrable barrier that is death, so that, as the sages have said, all Israel has a share in the age to come. The Torah offers us glimpses of what is to come, a vision of familial restoration and of blessed companionship with all those whom we love. As we read, Abraham breathed his last, dying at a ripe old age, an old man full of years, and he was gathered to his people. Of Ishmael we read, this is how long Ishmael lived, 137 years. Then he breathed his last, died, and was gathered to his people. Yitzhak too breathed his last, died, and was gathered to his people, an old man full of years. And of course, in next week's parasha, we shall read of Yaakov that when Yaakov had finished charging his sons, he drew his legs up into the bed, breathed his last, and was gathered to his people. And speaking of Aaron, Hashem said that he will be gathered to his people. He will die there. And similarly, Hashem told Moshe, you too will be gathered to your people, just as Aaron, your brother, was gathered. Being gathered to your people. It's kind of like that bit in The Lion King where you see Simba seeing his father in the skies with Simba's father and all the rest of it. It's a lovely concept that's expressed here. Being gathered to all those whom you love. Being restored. Fear of death is natural. It's instinctive. It is, after all, a Rubicon, a wide river that none of us have yet crossed or can even see beyond. The far bank is shrouded in mist. And that disturbs us. We like to know where we're going, don't we? Especially as we contemporary people live in an age of information. You want to know something? Ask Google. Google's at our fingertips. All the knowledge of the world is at our fingertips. And such knowledge gives us the impression that we're in control of our lives. But it's an illusion. It is only a semblance of control. And that is perhaps why we find the end of life fearful. Because it's completely beyond our control and understanding. And yet from across the other side of the river, echoing gently, as we've heard through the pages of the Torah, if we listen attentively, we may hear a still small voice calling to us from the other bank. The Ruach, the Spirit of God, reassuring us that all is well and all will be well. Just trust. Hashem will be there to catch you on the other side. In fact, receiving this reassurance is vital if we are to truly attend to what matters throughout the scriptures. Hashem repeatedly insisting that we address now, today, the not so small matter of living well. Don't be so fearful of the future, of eternity, that it ruins your life today. Live well today in the Olam Hazeh is the primary message of Scripture. None of us knows what our lifespan will be, but it is clear that we cannot live justly, humbly, or graciously in the present if we're too preoccupied with a future that is quite beyond our vision. As Messiah himself said, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for today is its own trouble." Live, be present in the moment, and live well in the moment, and do not be afraid, is the message of the scriptures. Amen.